You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, coming to you guys on this Wednesday, and I've got a very big variety here on the podcast for you guys today. We're going to talk some off-season and analyzing the Pelicans' biggest needs. There's two of them. You guys probably already know what one is, but I want to talk a little bit about the other one and why. I also want to dive into the playoff series that just ended between the Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trail Blazers, and how it would have been very different if the Pelicans were in that one. Portland got swept, but I don't think that actually would have happened to the Pels. I'm going to tell you why, and maybe this sets the Pelicans up, or it kind of gives you a glimpse of the long-term success they might be able to have in the playoffs, because you're going to have to get past the Golden State Warriors, but the Pelicans actually might be better suited to do that. And then finally, with the news that the Saints signed Adrian Peterson today, and definitely give Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a listen as well regarding that, to find out if it's a good signing, bad signing. I don't really know enough about NFL contracts anymore to make a ruling on this, but he does come with some baggage, and I want to talk about potentially what that means and get, you know, the listeners here opinions regarding guys with that kind of baggage who have done some, frankly, bad things in the past, and if it makes you less interested in the team, do you not care either way? You know, get some opinions regarding that topic. So a lot to cover here on Locked On Pelicans. So let's just jump right into the first topic, and that's going to be the offseason needs for this team. And this isn't something I've touched on just yet. We've talked a lot about Jrue Holiday, and obviously adding some guard depth is going to be number one, regardless of whether they re-sign Holiday or not. Even if they do bring him back at whatever the contract is, they still need to bring in some help here, because after that, it still jumps to Tim Frazier in the pecking order. So you need another lead guard or big ball handler in there just to not have Frazier take significant minutes. And I'm not really trying to knock Frazier here. I've jumped on and off the bandwagon of his last season, you know, pretty constantly. But the big thing is teams don't respect his shooting whatsoever. So the problem becomes on a pick and roll situation, and when you have a big setting a screen, whether it's Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, or maybe even sometimes Solomon Hill, teams go underneath those screens and just dare Tim Frazier to shoot those open three-pointers that the opponent's giving them. That's not what you want if you're a Pelicans fan, because frankly, Frazier, you know, only shot 31.3% on three-pointers last year. That's actually below Solomon Hill's percentage from three-point range. Hill was at 34.8, so round up 35%. Frazier's at 31. That's not good, to be honest. You know, DeMarcus Cousins, you know, to compare it a little bit more, was at 37.5%. So significantly better number. So he doesn't beat you by shooting. And when teams go underneath those screens, they largely take away the roll man for the Pelicans. You can kind of double team Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins if they're rolling to the rim, and you'll live it with it if Frazier hits the three, which he missed more often than he made, even, you know, at a relatively poor rate there. So this really hurts the team. You need to add another ball handler that can, you know, make teams pay, because you just don't want Frazier getting the 23.5 minutes per game he received this past year. That's going to doom the Pelicans going into next year and potentially really derail their playoff hopes. That second unit needs to play well or do something right. And Frazier, while good at running a team overall, and, you know, avoiding turnovers and things like that, doesn't beat you by driving to the rim. He doesn't beat you by shooting. So kind of what's he doing there in offense? And it's more or less, you know, think like a game manager in the NFL, which is an insulting thing to say to a quarterback, of course. But, you know, Frazier kind of fits that mold. He's just kind of keeping things afloat without tanking you necessarily, though he's kind of tanking you. You'd say he's a net negative. And this is something that the Pels really need to upgrade next year. I'm not going to talk names and things like that today. We got plenty of time like that for that this offseason. Don't make me give all my good material away right now. I'm still coming to you guys 4 days a week. No other podcast is coming to you this often with this kind of information, the guests that I have on here at all. So, you know, we'll get to that point, but I want you guys to have kind of in the back of the mind what these priorities are. So number one is adding some guard depth to this Pelicans team. The Pelicans' second biggest need, and again, this should come as no surprise, is really going to be on that wing position at the kind of the small forward spot, whatever you really want to call it, but that three position for the Pelicans. And right now, they basically have two guys in Solomon Hill, who plays by far the majority of the minutes there, and Dante Cunningham, who was injured for a little bit of the year, missing a bunch of games, double digits, and who might not be back next year. It's a player option for something like $5 million, and he's almost assuredly going to opt out of that and get a bigger contract on the market. And depending on what the Pelicans do this offseason, they might not really have the cap space or the ability to bring him back without potentially a major overpay. So you don't want to factor him in. So right now, you've got the Pelicans going into next season with Solomon Hill and Axel Tupan, and Axel was with the team for two games, so who knows? That's not really someone you want to rely on. But they need to upgrade that position. And notice I'm not mentioning Quincy Pondexter, because Quincy Pondexter is certainly not walking through that door as a savior for this franchise. By next season, if he's even ready to play on opening day, and we don't know, it's a big if, and the Pels haven't really given any update on him. They just said he had some infections and other things and needed continually more and more surgery on his knee. And I feel bad for the guy, because he seems like a great person for all intents and purposes here, but you kind of forget about him on this team, but it's hurting. Luckily, his cap hit isn't much that it hurts this franchise and their ability to sign players this offseason. But Pondexter hasn't played in 2 years. When he's back and healthy, no matter what, you can't figure he's going to be a positive for this team and be like, well, if he plays like he did, you know, the year the team made the playoffs and got swept by the Warriors, he's not going to play like that. It's almost a dumb thing to say. I'm going to be kind of just poignant with this here, I guess, is maybe not the right word, but whatever. You guys get what I mean. He's not going to be that player. He's going to be a shell of his former self if he ever plays again. And in the exit press conference, Del Demp said, you know, if he comes back, it's going to be like a free agent signing. Well, it's going to be like a bad free agent signing. So it's not going to be a very good player for this team if and when he comes back. So the Pels need to upgrade this position badly. And if you've been watching these playoffs, almost every wing out there that's getting significant minutes and run for any of these playoff teams would be like by far the best wing the Pelicans had. Even a guy like Al-Farouq Aminu would potentially be an upgrade for the Pels here when it comes to offense while still giving you very good defense. And don't get me wrong, Solomon Hill was a tremendous defensive player for this Pelicans team this past year. He's kind of what unlocked the whole switching constantly scheme, would allow them to get into the top 10 defense. So there's, I don't want to take away his contribution to this team, but at some point you can't keep playing 4-on-5 on offense like they have with him. And that's been a big problem. And this position's been a big problem for them for a while, but basically you have Solomon Hill and maybe no one else right now. So you've got to upgrade this position. And, you know, again, we're going to save the names. There are going to be whole podcasts dedicated to that. But keep in mind, point guard, small forward, and the wing are where they need to spend their money. Right now, you know, if they spend a lot of money this offseason on the front court, you're going to see me be very frustrated. And I think you'll see fans revolt a little bit. I think they're going to be looking for a third big. I don't know if they necessarily view Cheick Diallo to that level yet. Obviously he didn't have the trust of the franchise, not getting minutes until they were just well out of playoff contention. But I think you have to go into next season or start planning this offseason thinking he's going to be your third big, just because you can't commit more money to the front court. By the way, just because the Pelican season is over doesn't mean there still isn't a lot going on here in New Orleans. And the best way to take advantage of anything, concerts, any live events like that, sporting events, all of the above, is through SeatGeek. You guys have heard me mention them before, and that's because I use it personally. For a lot of Saints games this year, got in for excellent, excellent prices to sold out games, including that Monday night one, the 10th anniversary of the Gleason block game against Atlanta, though the result was kind of sad. But SeatGeek is the best way to get tickets for any live event, whether sporting concert, jazz fest, what have you. That's because when you go on their site, they act as a ticket aggregator. They're going to pull tickets from all over the place and only show you the best prices. The same tickets might be listed for different prices on different sites. Make sure you're getting the most value for your money, and SeatGeek helps you do that. And they're going to even rate the tickets for you, showing you what is really the best buy out there. And hey, for our Locked On Pelicans listeners, we're running a promo code where if you download the SeatGeek app today, go to settings, enter promo code, type in LO Pelicans, LO Pelicans, you're going to get a $20 rebate. just for making a purchase you were already going to make. It's like free money. It's a smart thing to do. So download the SeatGeek app today. Make sure you're getting in on the action. Go to settings, enter promo code, put in LO Pelicans, get $20 back sent to you, and enjoy whatever it is that you want to see live. Again, SeatGeek, best way to get in on the action. So I talked about some of the offseason priorities when it comes to player personnel, but I want to talk a little bit about some things I've taken away from one of these playoff series, and that's really the Golden State sweep of Portland, and it gives me a lot of hope for this Pelicans team in the future should they be able to put those right pieces around Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. Golden State swept Portland, and a lot of people were out there on Twitter and different places, and I got a couple of people asking me this question, you know, is it maybe a better thing that the Pels didn't get into the playoffs? And one, no, you would have had two playoffs. Home game, so it would have been a lot of fun. It's not worth it for, you know, the 3% chance or less, whatever it is, I forget off the top of my head, chance at a top three pick. You're not really banking on that whatsoever. And playoff home games are a lot of fun. So yeah, of course it's worth it. But also, I don't think that Golden State would have drubbed the Pelicans like they did the Portland Trailblazers. Now, a lot of that has to do with Portland having Jusuf Nurkić injured and only playing in one game in about 17 minutes total in that series. What it forced Portland to do was go play small, where you had a front court, really, of Al-Farouq Aminu, Evan Turner, Mo Harkless, Noah Vonleh, and for one game, you had Myers Leonard starting, but playing in the other ones as well. So you had those five guys, but they're not particularly great big men. Leonard is really your only other center on that roster. So you're forcing, you know, some of those guys in Turner, Aminu, Harkless to play power forward that don't really fit there in a small ball lineup. So it plays right into Golden State hands. It allows them to put Draymond Green at center, shift Kevin Durant over to power forward, and completely dominate those matchups defensively. Portland, who has a pretty good offense, wasn't able to do much. You saw it in the final game, game four, two nights ago now, where they just looked inept, at least for the first quarter. Pels would have done quite well, I think. Not quite well, but would have done much better against this Golden State team, because you were kind of neutralizing what they want to do, which is defend you small to get these rebounds and then push it and play in transition. Where the Pels, with two bigs, I don't know if you can really put Draymond Green on DeMarcus Cousins and then Kevin Durant on Anthony Davis. Durant might be able to guard Davis, but Green, I don't know if it's going to really be able to handle DeMarcus Cousins down low. And this takes the Warriors out of their kind of game plan and what they want to do. And so I just think it would have been an interesting matchup for the Pelicans to at least get into the first round. They weren't going to win that series, probably losing in five or six games, and probably not particularly close of a series. But I think they would have done better than Portland did, because that height is there and it kind of just matches up well against the Golden State Warriors. Again, Warriors are a better team. But the Pels would have kind of shown, hey, we're going to be an annoying first out in the first round of the playoffs. And it gives you hope maybe for the future, seeing this, that, you know, if they had Nurkić in there, this series is entirely different for Portland, because they can match up a little bit better. But the Pels have the roster to maybe take down Golden State in some round of the playoffs, you know, in an ideal world, I guess. But you're going to have to go through Golden State if you want to make an NBA Finals, or if you want to even make a Western Conference Finals potentially. And at least the Pelicans are maybe better suited and better situated to do that than other teams are. And the final thing I want to touch on today here on Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, is going to kind of, like I said in the opening, center around Adrian Peterson and his signing with the Saints. And the guy's got a lot of baggage with him, with the whole switch incident and hitting his child and disciplining him. And I'll be honest, a lot of this stuff with the off-field issues, which the NFL has at a significant forefront compared to the NBA, it's turned me off from that league a lot. I just have trouble rooting for people like that. You know, I like to see people do well and succeed. I'm not saying like, oh, I hate my friends who are doing well and things like that. I'm not one of those people where you get so like angry and jealous from Facebook and all of that. I genuinely like seeing people do well, but not usually when you make like a kid bleed, which is what happened in the Adrian Peterson situation. And to his credit, though, he said all the right things after it happened. He took all of the correct steps. As I was reading about it, he, you know, saw a counselor based out of D.C., did charity work for this sort of thing. So there's a lot to like about him and his response to a mistake he made. And of course, people, you know, should have second chances after all. So with that, though, it makes it tough to still root for these guys, and I feel kind of conflicted about this Peterson signing, because for the Saints, it really is, there's like no risk associated with it. The only thing is maybe it's a lost opportunity cost where you could have used that money elsewhere on the defensive side, but you still do need a backup running back. Trust me, Mark Ingram, I don't know if you necessarily want to rely on fully. He's had one good year, more or less. So it makes sense for the team. You kind of want to like the signing, but his character and all the stuff around it really makes it a little bit tougher for me. So I wanted to see what listeners here of Locked On Pelicans thought about this. And that's, what do you think of guys who have baggage like that, who have had issues in the past? Like, I really don't want the Pelicans to draft Saints to draft Mixon out of Oklahoma, the running back, which, I mean, can you imagine bringing in Peterson and Mixon with the baggage they have there and the negativity surrounding them? And, you know, it kind of reminded me of the situation with Dante Cunningham, where, you know, he was a free agent. No team wanted him until he was cleared from basically the entire thing of the domestic abuse and all of that, which we don't need to go into today. But basically, it was all made up and he had nothing to do with it. But he was like an outcast of the NBA for a while, but clearly he's turned into a player for the Pelicans here in New Orleans. So it's an interesting dynamic between it. So what do you think of someone like Lonzo Ball, whose dad comes with him and is going to be kind of a nuisance and maybe say some things that are going to make you cringe and all of that? It makes me, if I were running a team, hesitant to kind of draft him. I think a lot of other writers would agree. But I've been reading reports that, hey, you know, right now there's no NBA GMs that wouldn't draft him because of his dad. But let's say there's all of a sudden a recruiting scandal where it turns out he signed some illegal deal and everything while at UCLA with the sponsors or whatever, his dad's company, the 3B's Big Baller Brand or whatever it is. You know, that's following him around potentially after that, and that might not be a fun situation. Same thing kind of happened with Derrick Rose once he was in the NBA, where Memphis had to vacate that Final Four appearance. So what do you guys think of that? Let me know. The blog, site, whatever it is. Podcast, there we go. I'll get it right. The podcast is on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. Tweet at me. Are you cool with, you know, drafting, signing guys that have some of this baggage as long as they're helping the team? Do you just not care either way and you just want to bring in the best players? Or do you want to just stay away from them overall entirely? I think it's an interesting discussion. I'm curious to hear what people say. Like I said, I'm more towards just staying away from them. You know, there's so few transcendent talents out there, and a lot of those guys really don't end up in any kind of trouble like this, that it's not like you need to take a flyer on some of these guys while they've got it still going on. But I understand both sides of it, so let me know. I'm curious to see what people say. I'll read some of the tweets out and responses if I get enough over the next couple of days and the rest of this week here on Locked On Pelicans. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Again, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Please give a follow to the podcast on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. Like it on Facebook. We throw some different things out there almost daily with it. You'll at least get the link. Subscribe to it on iTunes, on Audio Boom. Rate it wherever you can. That's what helps keep this free for you guys, coming to you almost daily right now, 4 days a week, which we're going to continue doing for the near future, at least probably through the end of free agency. So a lot of content still to come. No one else is coming to you guys like this 4 or 5 days a week, bringing you the guests that I am. So please subscribe to it. So thank you all for listening. I'm going to go enjoy these playoff games tonight and the rest of the week, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.